All right. Welcome into a Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
There you go. You got it.
You wanted me to say 98.5.
I don't know what was happening. Yeah.
Nope. It is a Tuesday. It is a new day in the NFL, the weeks of parody that continues to happen. We'll dive into last night's games, but we want to rush to the show.
Yes, we do.
And talk about what was on the field yesterday with two games. Mm-hmm. Matt Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Liggins with you here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty, we have Dayton Hughes a little bit later on today. We have On the Come, Tough Tuesdays.
A lot of guys on that list today, especially after last night's performance. If you're going to give me two Monday night games, at least give me two good football games, right? Like, we don't need to see Jacksonville anymore, right? Like, on national TV, any national TV slate game that Jacksonville is in currently, they need to be flexed out. They need to be put noon on CBS for the rest of the season because they've lost, what, seven or eight in a row now, dating back to last season?
Eight.
They lost five in a row, right? The start or the finish last year where they were still in playoff contention. They've lost three straight at the beginning of this year. And I told you when Etienne fumbled that football out of the end zone in Miami in week one, I said, that's it for Jacksonville. And they have not recovered from that at all. And they got motorboated last night against Buffalo. Like, Josh Allen looked really, 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 really special last night, and Jacksonville looked terrible. And then you flip over to the Cincinnati game, taking on the Commodes, and my God, the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think that's the big story everybody in Kansas City is going to be celebrating today. And that's how you know it's a rival. The Bleach Blonde Bomber is now 0-3, had a private meeting with his coach after the game to figure things out. Cam Taylor-Britt continues to run his mouth and get shot down. And the Cincinnati Bengals are now 0-3 and four games back of the Chiefs, and we haven't hit October yet. They're done.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask the question, who is, more cooked for the rest of the regular season, Cincinnati or Jacksonville?
Well, I think it's Jacksonville because I think Cincinnati is still more talented than Jacksonville is right now. Jacksonville didn't look like they wanted to be out there yesterday. I mean,
Cincinnati didn't.
Well, but at least they played a little bit more of a competitive football game, Dusty. Like, Jacksonville was done in the first quarter. Like, that thing was over for Jacksonville. At least Joe Burrow kind of fought back, threw three touchdown passes. His defense didn't stop anybody last night, but at least he threw three touchdown passes. Trevor Lawrence looks like, to me, one of the biggest wastes of money that we've seen in the NFL. You can put him up there, obviously, with Deshaun Watson, who's number one, and I think he's
Watson
on that list.
Yes!
Daniel Jones may or may not be on that list, depending if Malik Nabers is ready to rock and roll every single week. So there's a lot of guys that you waste money on. Trevor Lawrence is looking like a big, fat waste of money down in Jacksonville. And, man, I don't know if Doug Peterson survives the entire season right now. I mean, there's just no way you can at this point.
Yeah, the MVP odds are updated. Josh Allen plus 200, Patrick Mahomes plus 300. Next closest, C.J. Stroud plus 1,100, which is funny to me because Josh Allen is absolutely tearing up the league right now. Seven touchdowns passing, zero interceptions. So he's finally maybe figured out something. Again, they played Jacksonville last night. Not their fault. Absolutely just beat the living snot out of them, and the game was over before it started.
And that's what you want to do, though, against a team like that. Wouldn't you like to see the Chiefs do that against the Chargers this weekend?
It just never happens.
It never does, no.
It never happens. It never will. I'm done trying to think that Andy Reid will ever beat a team 48-3.
It just doesn't. Well, except the Raiders. Now that's coming at the end of October. Like, that may be the one where we do see Andy Reid beat the brakes off of somebody.
Make a business decision.
Right.
But no, I'm kind of like with you guys, and I'm not a huge fan of the Monday night doubleheader. Now, I like how they stack it so where you could watch the first one, and then once the first one's quarter ends, the first quarter, the second game is essentially starting.
Right.
So that when halftime hits, the second quarter is like 2-minute warning hits. So when that halftime hits, the third quarter starts, and you go off. But you have to have a better product than this.
Right.
Now, the Cincinnati-Washington game was actually a good game.
Yeah, right? It did. It turned out to be a really good football game. 38-33.
Jaden Daniels looks like a stud. Looks like rookie of the year might be over.
Right.
I'm kidding. I don't know who's I would say that he took a front seat lead in the rookie of the year last night. 21-23, 254, two touchdowns, 39 rushing yards, and a touchdown.
More touchdowns than incompletions for him last night, which is pretty wild, right?
Which is nice.
Yep.
And, you know, you look at the other results that you got last night, which you found out a lot in two Monday Night Football games last night, because it is week three. In the NFL, the sample size is much smaller than the MLB. But last night's game's not great. Monday Night Football, I feel like, has lost its pizzazz just because I think there's more involvement with Sunday Night Football. I think more people, and at least Amazon, has said, hey, Thursday night is no longer the night we punt on games. Even though this week it's Dallas and the Giants. You might think that that game doesn't have a lot of juice.
Oh, that game's got a lot of juice.
Turmoil in Dallas. Yep. Malik Nabers is a superstar in the making in the New York Giants organization. Daniel Jones with Malik Nabers looks like he's got at least some sort of life.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dallas loses that game, we're having this conversation Friday about Dallas, thing we're having the conversation about with Jacksonville. Does Mike McCarthy make this season? Is Dallas really that good? Is that franchise screwed? Like, you know, that sort of stuff. And I mean, Buffalo, Jacksonville preseason, you're probably thinking that should be a decent Monday night game. And again, every week we get spoiled because I think we get really good weeks of the NFL where the matchups play out well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at the next week and we're like, well, this week sucks. It's like, well, yeah, but you can't have it to be, you know, you can't have filet mignon every night.
No,
maybe you
can,
but you just, it's not going to be the greatest week every week. So two games this week on Monday Night Football, I believe two games next week on Monday Night Football as well. I can look in the head and look and see what those are, but I'm like you, like, those weeks, and I think next week they're not great.
I don't think they were great games either next week, because I remember looking ahead a little bit, and God forbid I can't remember who they are because I'm worried about who the Chiefs are playing this week. But I did look forward a little bit. I'm like, two more Monday night games next week, and so it's like, meh.
Next week, your first game at 6:30 is Tennessee at Miami.
Yeah, nobody's interested in that one anymore.
And then your 7:15 game, which is decent, is Seattle at Detroit.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That's a good game, yeah.
Geno's been good. Seattle is 3-0. Detroit's 2-1.
Right.
That's a good game. So they got that one at least. But your first game, the appetizer, you're eating like calamari, but it's all the ones with like the little squid legs.
Oh, I like those. I like the squiggly.
Give me the rings.
Legs. You like the rings?
Give me the rings.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I thought last night was okay. I thought it was decent. But to be fair with you guys, like, it was kind of the sub. Last night was kind of like the, you know,
Yeah.
I also think Monday's struggling because now you get football on Thursday. You get a full slate of it Sunday. So when it gets to the point Monday and your team's not playing, you're like, I'm kind of spent.
Yeah. I've been there for years, you know, Dusty.
I'll track my fantasy guys.
Right.
But, like, I don't really care if it's, you know, Buffalo, Jacksonville, the score's, what was it, at halftime, like 31-7.
31-3 or something.
It wasn't great. And then this game was back and forth. It was decent. But you found out a lot last night. Jacksonville's cooked. Cincinnati's cooked.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is the rookie of the year leader right now. And there's a couple of coaches on the hot seat, and Zach Taylor and it's Doug Peterson.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think if you're Zach Taylor and you're Doug Peterson this morning, you're probably polishing up your resumes and trying to figure out what is next. But what I think the difference is, though, Cincinnati really does have a lot of talent. They're just not getting their talent to play. And that does go back to coaching for me. I don't know how much talent Jacksonville has. I think in the jump to conclusions, Matt, in the NFL that we're in, where every week, oh my God, this is the greatest guy or this is the worst guy, Jacksonville jumped to conclusions and signed Trevor Lawrence and made a huge mistake in signing that quarterback to a long-term deal. He doesn't look like a winner out there right now. And now that you've lost 8 in a row, how do you reel that back in? How do you bring that back to the pack and try to get things straightened out down there in Jacksonville? It becomes a coaching thing now. And if this team all of a sudden just goes off and floats out into the Atlantic Ocean, then Doug Peterson is going to get fired, because you have to find a way as a coach to reach your players and bring them back in. And you can't let a fumble out of the end zone in a game that you were dominating, like literally dominating, affect the entire season. But it has. That one play has turned the entire season for Jacksonville, and that was that ATN fumble that we talked about on week one. And they've never recovered from that, and they're spiraling out of control. That's what losing teams do. You lost 5 in a row. You're waiting.
Sure.
Like going into the Royals game tonight, how many Royals fans right now are thinking, if we fall down 1-0 early, this game is over, right?
I would shotgun a beer.
Right. Like that's the mindset right now for, I think, a lot of Royals fans.
Right.
And I think for the Jacksonville Jaguars, after that fumble, they're like, how's it going to go wrong? How are we going to screw this up? How are we going to lose? Where the Chiefs, on the other hand, have this mentality of like, all right, we'll figure it out. We'll win this football game. How are we going to win this football game? And so that's the difference between like some of these losing organizations, like the Bengals, like the Jags right now, versus a team like Buffalo or Kansas City. They know they're going to win. It's just a matter of how we're going to win, how we're going to put things together, and how we're going to take care of business. Right now, Cincinnati and Jacksonville, they're going going into games thinking, oh my God, we're going to lose. How are we not going to lose? And when you have that mindset, you never win. And last night it was the defense in Cincinnati. They really truly do play up to the level of their competition, right? They played great here against Kansas City, and they've lost to Washington and New England, right? I mean, they lost to Washington and New England. Think about that if you're a Bengal fan right now. Those are two of your three losses. The Chiefs loss, not a big deal. You should be at worst 2-1 on the season. They're now 0-3. The quarterback and head coach are having private meetings. Ja'Marr Chase, call it what it is, that dude's a cancer right now inside that locker room because it's all about me, 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 me. You have no idea how he's probably affecting that thing during the week. That is a team that is off the rails. Cam Taylor-Britt's talking about how Washington is a nice college offense. They scored on every possession last night. Okay,
oh, we got receipts.
Right? So they scored on every possession last night. That is a team in disarray right now. And so if you're Jacksonville and Cincinnati, man, it's time to hit the reset button and figure out how you can salvage what's left of this season, because at 0-3, you stand basically zero chance of making it into the playoffs.
I don't know if this person's trolling us on the text line, but it says Ja'Marr Connor got the interception on Sunday night, right? Correct. Who did he hand the ball to? I believe it was Justin Watson or Jason. Watson.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Watson. Yes.
Bob did mention the Pets heads falling off in Cincinnati. This is Cameron Taylor-Britt on his retractable comment opportunity post game against Washington.
Headlines with your comments about the Commanders offense this week. Do you regret what you said? And can you talk us through what happened from a defensive standpoint tonight?
No, ma'am, I do not regret it. And I didn't mean anything malicious out of the comment. It was just made bigger than what it was. Yes,
no, it wasn't.
I can eat my words most definitely. We did take a L today, but as a team, it was sort of caught us off of very quick, quick throws. He's very athletic and extend plays. And that's how the game went, man. They stuck to their plan, and yeah, that's how it went.
Cincinnati's just a dumb team, too. Like, when you get out there and you call an NFL offense a nice college offense, which is what he did.
That is malicious.
That is malicious. That is not taken out of context. Stop blaming the media. Don't be stupid and say dumb things.
The media took it out of context.
No, they didn't. You said it, man. Like have responsibility.
You called a professional team a collegiate team.
Right.
That's
not taken out of context at all. Those are your words.
That's like the text line being like, this show is childish because you guys just suck. I didn't mean anything malicious by that. Yeah, you did.
You did. You absolutely
told us we sucked.
Did. Yeah.
And it took us down from our age.
Right.
Here's Zach Taylor on the comments.
Nice college offense. Yeah. Did you have an issue with that?
Great work by this reporter.
That's not what we do. That's not what we do. We praise our own team.
No, that's what you
praise
do.
The other team. We don't need to take shots like that. That team hasn't punted in 2 weeks. They've scored on every single possession the last 2 weeks. So I've got a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing over there. I've known Cliff a long time. I knew paired with that quarterback, this was going to be a very dangerous offense to play against, and they've proven that. So
that is that is you losing the locker room.
Yeah.
If you don't think that, you know, now you're done talking,
right?
You were talking last year in the Chiefs matchup. Then you talk this year in the Chiefs matchup. Cameron Taylor-Britt backed it up, right? Yeah. He got burned by Rashee Rice. A lot of people getting burned by Rashee Rice,
yeah.
But also had a really big interception. Then he did it again. And you lost again.
Right.
You're 0-3. Talking privileges are gone.
Yeah.
They're done. Sorry. Ours are not. We discussed why Bob Fesco might be right about one take he had earlier this year involving a Chiefs wide receiver. I'm Dusty Lagas, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. Listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in, 96.5 The Fan on a Tuesday, Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, baby. I made tacos last night.
What?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Because that's all I had to make. Oh, so okay. That's what they had for dinner last night. They can have leftovers today, right?
I guess. Ottoman in the basement Tuesday.
Yep.
Royals play tonight, 5:45.
That's first pitch, 5:45 tonight.
So.
All right. So Vern's on the air, what, 3?
In the nation's capital.
There you go. Big, big, big series for the boys in blue, right?
I don't know if you saw this or not. Seattle won again last night.
I know they did, brother.
They're
what, a game and a half?
Yeah.
Houston and Seattle battling for the wild card and the division as those two hook up for, a 3-game series this week between those two. So a lot of action going on around baseball. Who do the Minnesota Twins have? They have Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken, this week.
No. have Miami, then Baltimore.
Oh, Miami, then Baltimore. Damn. So Minnesota's going to get some wins against the Marlins, whose manager basically just quit yesterday.
That's right.
I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Skip Schumacher, who is the favorite in the clubhouse from what I've been being told to be the Reds' next manager. So, but Skip Schumacher basically just quit yesterday, thanking Miami for everything with a week to go. So you know where the mindset of that ball club
He went to Storage Mart and got the free boxes.
Yes, he did.
Life hack, by the way.
He's moving. He's on to Cincinnati already.
If
so
you're ever moving, go to Storage Mart. They'll hook you up with boxes.
All the boxes you can use, huh?
I think in reality, they're like 25 cents, but you throw like $5 on the table. They'll be like, take as many as you want.
Yeah, just go for it.
We'll get into baseball a little bit later, but Mariners, Astros again tonight.
Yep.
Big series there. Really rooting for Houston to just get them out of the
picture. Get them out of the picture.
And then, it's Tampa Bay and Detroit.
Yeah, okay. Tampa and Detroit, and the Marlins take on the Twins. So the work is out for the Royals right now. Mm. You've got to go out there and win. And that's the part of the season that we're at, man. You control your own destiny. Go out there and control your own destiny. Don't worry about the Marlins or trying to get help from Tampa. Those squads ain't going to help you out.
I want to have a discussion about who I think is officially there. And I think I'm going to get a little bit, maybe not from Bob, but I think a little bit of backwash from Mac on this. I think Rashee Rice is a modern-day wide receiver one in Kansas City.
Well, I think you're right about that.
I know
that,
on the roster, he's your number one wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. He is wide receiver X, Y, Z, whatever you want to call him. I'm not going to get into that. I think we are streaming, though.
Finally. We are streaming. Okay, we're up and streaming, so subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can see our beautiful faces. You can go to 96.5 The Fan on YouTube and subscribe. And Spectre doesn't believe we can get any subscriptions, so we want you to subscribe to Spite Spectre. It's a Spite subscription.
It's a also...
You ever go to a Spite store?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what that is.
Curb?
Oh, duh. Hello. Sorry. Thinking about Rashee Rice.
I was like, yeah, you know Kurt better than I do, Dusty.
I think I need to go to Mocha Joe's and get a little wake-up call. Yeah.
Like, if there's one show that you definitely know better than I do, it is Curb, right?
Yeah.
And I just
loss.
Said that is a Spite subscription. Yeah. You ever go to a Spite? I don't even know what that is.
That's right. I'll own that loss. All right. Bob 1, Dusty 0.
Trying to get in your wheelhouse, my man.
You were in there. But being like the fantasy guy that I like to be when it comes to football numbers, I just can't let it go. You can always check out Mac on Sundays at 9 a.m. Great stuff there. He sets you up for success. You know, he told you to start Juwan Jennings this week. 3 touchdowns, 40-plus points in fantasy. But anyways, these are Rashee Rice's numbers that matter when it comes to wide receivers. Again, I'm aware, 3 games in.
Again, it's the jump to conclusions, Matt, in the NFL.
But it's, look, I mean, we're 2 games away from being a quarter of the way through the season.
Oh, I know.
Whether you want to believe it or not. But Rashee Rice is where he ranks in numbers that matter for wide receivers. He's tied for 3rd in targets at 29. He's tied 2nd in yards, only behind Nico Collins.
Okay.
288. Touchdowns, tied for 2nd. Again, everybody, like 8 people have 3, and then like 6 people have 2. Rashee Rice has 2 touchdowns.
He's tied for 2nd.
Right. Yards per game, 2nd alone, 96.2. Yards after catch, big stat today for wide receivers. He's number 1 with 186 yards after catch. His nickname is Mr. Yak for a reason. Rashee Rice is a wide receiver 1 in the NFL. I think that where this figures out into the gameplay, which is where we go back to Briscoe's comments yesterday when he joined our show, our Chiefs contributor here from for Fesco and Dusty and everybody else on 96.5 The Fan, I love the concept of him getting the torch pass from Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of heals a little bit of what is the modern discussion or the elephant in the room that is the Chiefs this year, I think, is Travis Kelsey the same tight end that he's been the last 9 years? The answer to that is no, because quite simply, he doesn't have to be, because the Chiefs have their first wide receiver 1 in the NFL since they've had Tyreek Hill.
They really have. And you know, I said at the beginning of the season, he has an opportunity to go down as the greatest wide receiver in Chiefs history. And you guys kind of laughed at me like, no way, there's no chance. I'm like, no, I think he is. And you know, I've been saying since day 1 of training camp, Rashee Rice was going to be that guy for the Chiefs this year. And he's truly living up to my prediction or hypothesis, however you want to describe that. He's playing out his ass right now. But it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, because they expected Rashee Rice in the this organization to be this good? That's where you get your information from, talking to people like Rashee Rice. I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's see what this guy, you know, is all about. And boy, he has taken the opportunity and he has run with it, man. He is doing an amazing job. And if he continues at this pace over, you know, the course of years, he will be in position to be the greatest wide receiver in franchise history. Now, that's not a huge list. I mean, it really is Tyreek Hill and everybody else. But Tyreek Hill is a Hall of Fame type of wide receiver, and he's the type of guy that you hold the bar up to now in this organization. Tyreek Hill's the best wide receiver. Travis Kelce is the best tight end. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback. Harrison Butker is the best kicker. Andy Reid is the best coach. All of those are the best in Chiefs organization.
Chris Jones, best offensive lineman.
Chris Jones, probably the best defensive lineman out there.
Interior, I guess you should say.
Because people will say, well, how do you describe Derek Thomas and, you know, some of these other guys?
T.J. Watt's probably the best edge rusher in the game.
But yeah. No, I'm just talking about, like, the best in Chiefs history. Like, we're witnessing some of the best players that this organization ever had, and there was, like, 500 Hall of Famers that were on those teams in the 60s, right? Like, that tells you how good this organization is. But everybody has the opportunity to be passed. And I do believe that when it's all said and done, Rashee Rice is going to be and will go down as the best wide receiver in franchise history. And boy, he's off to an unbelievable start. The yak thing is the one for me that really jumps off the page, not because he's number one, but just because, I don't know about you, like, I can see every slant pass in my mind and Patrick Mahomes throwing that perfect dime to him where he just has to run and catch the ball and continue on running. And he gets a lot of yak because he's good. He also gets a lot of yak because his quarterback puts the ball in that perfect spot. It's a great relationship that these two guys have going on right now, and Rashee Rice just continues to get better and better and better as these games go on, Dusty. And I thought Sunday night, I thought he was fantastic. And that's what it is with Travis Kelce. It's not Travis Kelce getting old, getting washed, not being the same type of guy. Mm-hmm. It's the torch has now been passed, and that's what you want, because when a torch gets passed and a great player is still here, that means stability for the organization on top of the standings where the Chiefs find themselves still.
Which is, to me, I think the interesting thing is that not only is Rashee Rice doing well this year, coming off of his rookie year and everything that was in this offseason, but you look at what he's doing with Patrick Mahomes, and that is the type of receiver that has always been the best fit for a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Like, Juju, you got a little bit past his prime.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins just couldn't stay on the field, but when he did, he was doing just fine, and he was that receiver for Patrick Mahomes. Had the speed, go over the top, had the big body, go over the middle, could kind of give Travis Kelce that spell. You look at what Juju Smith-Schuster did when he was here that year they won the Super Bowl with him. He was running parallel routes to Travis Kelce. We're like, well, they're going to bracket Travis Kelce. We'll take our chance with one-on-one with Juju Smith-Schuster. Big body receiver can get open.
Yeah.
Kind of like when he scored that touchdown against this last week against, I already forgot who they played.
Who they play last week, yeah.
Right, but he had that touchdown in the late game, or late in that game, Juju Smith-Schuster, that little crossing route that he scored. That's what you see Rashee Rice doing. The other thing that we're starting to see Rashee Rice do more of is kind of get behind receivers. He looks like he's gotten faster. He's able to run those, like, straight routes. He did it last year against Cam Taylor-Britt in that Cincinnati game. He did it this year against Cameron Taylor-Britt this year in the Cincinnati game. And he's just become that option of, not only is it trust, but it's solidification for Patrick Mahomes. Big body guy, a little bit of speed. He's the Chiefs wide receiver one. I think he's a wide receiver one in the NFL. And I was asking you guys, or I was asking Mac during the break, as of right now, wide receivers that you would obviously take in the same kind of field as Rashee Rice, would you rather have DK Metcalf or Rashee
Rice? No, I'd rather have Rashee Rice right now. Yeah, okay. DK Metcalf, man. When was the last time we really truly talked about him?
Well, he's balling this year.
Yeah. But I felt like there's been like two or three years where like DK Metcalf didn't register in Kansas City, and that's not normal because everybody continues to complain that we took Mecole Hardman over DK Metcalf, right?
Right.
No, I would take Rashee Rice because obviously the age and his, you know, synergy right now with Patrick Mahomes is really outstanding, and that's why I said after the game I thought that interview with him was really cute. Like, he's like, whatever Patrick wants, man, like, as a guy who's in like year one plus three games, to already understand what the role is of the wide receiver to do what the quarterback says. A lot of these wide receivers are divas. You think Ja'Marr Chase is walking around doing a post-game interview going, hey man, whatever the quarterback wants, whatever Joe Burrow wants, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be that guy? Do you think that's happening in it's not happening in Cincinnati right now. That's why they're 0-3. Ja'Marr just walks around and bitches about his contract. Mm. That's all he does. Rashee Rice is like, hey man, whatever 15 says, wherever 15 wants me, whatever 15 wants me to do, I'm going to do that. And when you have that mindset and when you're in that zone, you're going to have success. And again, another reason, a small reason, but it's a small reason in a big picture of why this team is successful. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do and what their job is. And it's about us. It's not about me. And you can't say that about Cincinnati right now.
Would you rather have Chris Olave or Rashee Rice?
I'll take Rashee Rice over Chris Olave right now. Yeah.
Drake London or Rashee Rice?
Rice.
So he's solidified as probably the number one in that second tier of wide receivers, you'd think?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, who are you taking over Rashee Rice right now?
The normals, right? Like the CeeDee Lambs, the Justin Jeffersons, those type of guys.
Yeah.
But like, I think
how far through that CeeDee Lamb bloom falls off, though, too, with what's going on in Dallas now,
they're
right?
Not happy right
now. I mean, did you see him and the quarterback fighting with each other on Sunday?
And then Dak said, you want to jump off? Go ahead and jump.
Yeah.
Not to CeeDee. He said that to like the media when they were walking in the locker room. But I mean, I think that you have, you know, your shell of your top wide receivers in the league, like your A.J. Browns, your Justin Jeffersons, your CeeDee Lambs. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, right now, would you take Devontae Adams or Rashee Rice?
I would take Rashee Rice right now, but I would take Devontae Adams to go along with Rashee Rice. I'm not going to pass that up.
Well, like, are you asking me like for the next, well, obviously like age,
this
Rice.
This season.
Devontae's still better.
Okay.
Devontae's still more complete.
I was going to bring this up with Tyreek Hill, okay? How good can Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill truly be when they have quarterbacks that 100%. Can't get him the football? Yeah. Like, I think by the time this season is over, and it's going to be based on circumstance, obviously, people are going to be asking what happened to Tyreek Hill. You know what happened to Tyreek Hill? Aiden O'Connell, or whoever the hell's playing quarterback in Miami.
Oh, they're still going
with
Gardner.
That's what happened in Miami, or with the Raiders, like Devontae Adams. Well, I can't believe his production fall. He must be washed. He had Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell throwing him the football. That's what happened to Devontae Adams. You get him here in Kansas City or with the Jets or with a quarterback that can get the ball out and, you know, find an open man. Devontae Adams is going to be good. But I promise you, midway through this season, we are going to start to hear, oh, Tyreek Hill's no good anymore. What happened to Tyreek Hill? What happened to Devontae Adams? Bad quarterbacks of what happened to those guys.
I think that was always the biggest question for when Tyreek Hill left Kansas City, is it was like, you know, a lot of people were heartbroken because of how great he was, like the numbers he put up. And it was, you know, is Tyreek Hill as good as he is with anybody else? And he had a great year last year.
He was good with Alex Smith, too.
And he was. Yeah. But I think when you look at and the text line brought a name up that I thought I also brought up. When you look at the top receivers in the league, you look at the top 10 wide receivers, the gap between Rashee Rice and maybe the last two members of that, you know, top eight or nine in the list of number ones, and somebody brings up Amara St. Brown or Rashee Rice.
Yeah,
that's close.
That's a close one, right?
Amara St. Brown, going into the season, was considered a top five receiver due to his numbers in the last couple of years. Got paid for it. He's been a great receiver out of USC.
People love him because of the wide receiver show.
Right, and I think the thing that's crazy about this is that, like, you're having this discussion 3 weeks into the season after a rookie year campaign where he could have had 1,000 yards, didn't really start cooking until about week eight or nine, and this year it's been game one, game two, game three, Rashee Rice is target number one for Patrick Mahomes, and it's not Travis Kelce. And there's a reason for that, because Rashee Rice's talent is going through the roof, and he's just getting better and better. And someone mentions about the contract and Ja'Marr Chase's attitude again with Rashee Rice. Yeah, he had a tough offseason. There's no doubt about it. Addressing the elephant in the room. Rashee Rice had a brutal offseason. Right.
But it's not impacting what he's doing on the field.
But since that, he's been humble, he's been quiet, he's been doing his job, and he's been giving praise to the people that have helped him. Patrick Mahomes, he went to Pat Camp over the offseason, worked even more with Patrick Mahomes after having 900-plus receiving yards last year. Now he leads in yak, one of the number one stats that people look at wide receivers. Can you catch and move after the ball? Yeah, it's great to go up there and moss people for 25 yards and get a first down, but it's even more impressive when you're quick, fast, and strong, and people are like, well, we don't really know how to play him because we press coverage with Rashee Rice. He's going to blow us off the line. If we don't press cover him, he's going to get the ball and he's going to get some yards in space and he's going to move even further away.
How soon, and I'm trying to write my note down as I'm thinking as you're speaking, though, but how soon until teams start to realize that Rashee Rice is the number one option right now, and then all of a sudden Travis Kelce comes back to life and everybody goes, oh, look what happened to Travis Kelce? Because I think in the first couple of weeks of the season, teams have gone, okay, Travis Kelce's our number one option, right? Like, we got to stop Travis Kelce. That's the number one job. Oh my God, this Rashee Rice is pretty good. So now you've got to pick your poison. And that's why this offense, I think, is going to get going and moving forward in the next direction that everybody wants them to see, because now you've got to pick your poison. Are you going to double Travis Kelce and go one-on-one with Rashee Rice? Fine. We see what happens. The numbers are right there. Are you going to try to double Rashee Rice and then leave Travis Kelce one-on-one? That's not a good matchup for anybody. Then Travis's number numbers are going to take up. Open it up with a little bit of running game underneath, and now all of a sudden you got yourself an offense that people are going, okay, here's what it is. But this is the way teams are playing the Chiefs right now. They're eliminating Travis Kelce, and it frees things up for the other guys. Most teams don't take advantage of that. The Chiefs are taking advantage of that. Fine. You take our number one option away, we've got other number one options. How many teams can actually say that they have two true number one options on their team, and you got to pick your poison? It's a beautiful thing that we're living in right now here in Kansas City. So I'm excited to see what they do and if they try to take Rashee Rice out of the game plan, because if they do, Travis Kelce is going to start having himself some big games, and everybody will talk about Travis Kelce being back now.
And that's why I think the production of Rashee Rice only makes Patrick Mahomes that much better, because once you start saying, okay, we're not letting four beat us.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then now you're going to forget about number one and Xavier Worthy.
And then there's
then
another
you're
guy.
You're going to forget about 87 Travis Kelce. And oh, by the way, they're going to pound the rock with Carson Steele, because as Max said yesterday, with this soft two, you know, cover defense, a powerful, strong running back can soften that zone. And then all of a sudden the Chiefs have three or four different options where it's like, yeah, the offense hasn't started cooking yet, but there's a reason why Vegas still believes Patrick Mahomes is the MVP.
Right.
Along with Josh Allen, who has 9 total touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Oh, he's the leading candidate right now by far. Yeah.
But it's not that big. It's plus 300 or plus 200, and then Patrick Mahomes is plus 300. So they still think the offense can get better, and Rashee Rice is leading. And when you look about the offense getting better, Mahomes has still kind of got a little bit of stuff he can work on. We can have that discussion. It's been great. But Bill Belichick says the one thing that you have to worry about is the leadership of Mahomes.
Well, honestly, I think some of the teams, it's, you know, get a little too high and a little too low, you know, after certain games. Honestly, you know, one of the things that really jumped out at me was last night when they interviewed Mahomes. You know, he talked about, I mean, they're 3-0, and you could easily sit there and say, oh, you know, they're on course, and here we go again, big win in Atlanta and all that. But, you know, there's Mahomes talking about how bad they're playing and how much harder they need to work and improve. And honestly, I think that's the, you know, that's the attitude of a champion right there. I mean, it just jumps off the screen at you. They won a big game, and really what he's talking about is how much work they have to do, how much better they need to be, how it all starts with him. You know, I'd say I would still take his performance over a lot of other guys in this league. But, you know, here he is putting it on his shoulders. And you know what? When he says that and you're another member of that team, it's hard for you not to take the same attitude and say, you know what? If Patrick feels like we got to play better and he's got to play better, then maybe I got to play better, too. I thought that was great leadership.
And that's money right there by Bill Belichick, bro. Like that's money in the bank when you hear him say that end part right there, because that's the way it works inside this locker room right now. If you got a guy like Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, some of the greats of all time saying this isn't good enough, I'm not playing well enough, and then you're one of these guys in the locker room, you're 3-0 and you're celebrating, you're like, oh damn, the quarterback just said we weren't good enough and he's the best player on planet Earth, maybe of all time in this league. And if he's saying it's not good enough, I got to readjust myself and I got to get better as well. Like, I love that message from Patrick Mahomes, and I love the fact that Bill Belichick is pointing it out. And I don't know what you guys think. I enjoy Bill Belichick on TV now. I was upset the Manning cast wasn't on last night, because I want to see more Bill Belichick on TV. Him and the McAfee segment, it's outstanding. It really is. Like, Bill Belichick, if you're Bill Belichick right now, how much more money are you making with all these endorsements and ESPN and doing, you know, these gambling commercials and whatnot that he's... Why would you go back to coaching? He's living his best life right now.
And that's why he's already been, you know, described as the next one, the GOAT. And he seemingly has all the traits that you would want in a leading quarterback.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. He agrees. He agrees.
Yeah.
We all three agree that we love doing this show for you here in Kansas City that we call Fesco and Dusty. And when we come back, we all agree that we got a couple names that had a tough Tuesday today. We get into tough Tuesdays on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, back here on 96.5 The Fan on a show we call Fesco, Dusty, and Maury.
And also, we're on live on the TV today.
Yeah, go to the YouTube page, subscribe. If we have more subscribed numbers, our boss has to buy us lunch.
That's exactly right. So do a Spite subscription to Spite Spectre. You ever been to a Spite store, Dusty?
I have now. Two more names I want to bring up. If you would take them over Rashee Rice, as we just completed our last discussion. Brandon Ayuk or Rashee Rice?
I'm not taking Brandon Ayuk, especially with Purdy being banged up now. There was a report yesterday, something on him is sore. That thing is going downhill fast in San Francisco. When you're Christian McCaffrey and you're flying to Germany to get your Achilles looked at. That doesn't bode well for what's going on here in the NFL with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, that dude was spotted at the airport getting on a flight to, I think, Frankfurt or Munich or someplace like that to get his Achilles looked at. Then the team confirmed that yesterday. Are you telling me they've run out of options in San Francisco and they're like, all right, the next best thing, you got to go to Germany to get this thing looked at. They're probably not getting the answers and the healing that they want. I hate to go out on a limb like this. I don't know that we'll see Christian McCaffrey back anytime soon. And if we do, is he ever going to be the guy that we got to see over the last couple of years? Mm. You're going to Germany now? Ooh.
Amari Cooper or Shea Rice?
I mean, Cooper is better right now, but I think Rice will be better.
Garrett Wilson or Shea Rice?
I'm going Garrett Wilson.
That one's easy.
Yeah.
I think Garrett's really, really good.
I love Garrett Wilson. I've liked Garrett Wilson for the last couple of years, man. Like, well,
he's your guy, Ohio State.
I know him and Breece Hall. I really like Garrett Wilson. I do. And he's a really, really good wide receiver. So he's one of the best in the NFL.
All right, let's get into our Tough Tuesdays, where we give our coaches who are having a tough Tuesday today. Mac, I'll let you start this one off.
Do we have an intro for this? Tough Tuesday.
We need to get an intro going.
On the come.
Yeah, it's nice.
We'll get to that a little bit later. But Mac, go ahead and give us your Tough Tuesday candidates this week.
Well, I think McCarthy's got to be mentioned on probably all of our lists.
Yeah,
my God,
right,
the Cowboys 0-3 imploding. Mm-hmm. I mean, enough said, right? That's going to be the main story the rest of this year as long as they keep on losing. They just paid Dak. They just paid CD. They're going to pay Micah Parsons, and they got zero wins to show for it.
He's the only one I would have paid of those three.
I think they're going to pay him.
And then Jerry's out here saying they couldn't afford to go get Derrick Henry and talking about the size of other guys' parts. I mean, that thing is just a great show in Dallas, man. You can't script anything better than what goes on in Dallas.
Give me Eberflus. I saw a video this week, a Bears coach. I saw a video this week of Caleb Williams in the huddle calling a play. It took him 15 seconds to read the play. I mean, he's reading this like just laundry list of a play call. And I'm like, you've got this rookie quarterback. Like, let's make this simple, dude. Like quick, three words or less. Like, really just like, let's simplify this whole thing. I feel like Caleb's out there overthinking. I'm putting that on Eberflus. Mike McDaniel, I know they just lost Tua, but you're some offensive mastermind. We touted you up as this, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan tree. You're the next guy. Haven't won a playoff game. Really haven't won more than 10 games, but once. You brought in all this elite, all pro talent on offense and defense, and you get all the credit for it. You know what, man? You got one 10 win season. Where are you, Mike McDaniel? I know it's Skylar Thompson, but you got two stud wide receivers.
Yeah.
Can't score a touchdown.
You
got
to find a way to get them the football, the football quick. I mean, like Rashee Rice type patterns,
Exactly. Slam
patterns over the middle. And, Mike McDaniel is the prime example of a coach getting all of this praise for how good his players are. There's been one coach in the history of the NFL that's actually been better than his players, and that's Andy Reid.
Yeah, I love that. I love that take. Brioche. Zach Taylor. I mean, enough said right there. 0-3. Yeah. Can't win a game in the first month of the season. Then
losing
Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson's been on my list since week one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hate it. Love my guy, Dougie P. We might see him back here in red and gold here in a couple of years.
You're right. No, a couple of weeks. He gets fired in Jacksonville and he comes back to Kansas City because, that's what happens and that's fine. But, or maybe he doesn't. I don't know what the situation is, with Doug Peterson. But, those two coaches that lost last night are squarely on the hot seat right now. Doug Peterson starts my list, followed by Zach Taylor on that list. You have too much talent in Cincinnati to be 0-3 and to lose to the Commodes and to the Patriots. And obviously you lost to the Chiefs, that's an acceptable loss. If you're 2-1, we're not talking about Zach Taylor being on the hot seat. You lost to arguably the worst team in the NFL, right? In the Carolina or in the New England Patriots, and then lost to one of the worst organizations in the history of sports
at home.
At home, right? Like that's a big time loss. You got two losses at home already right now.
They play Andy Dalton next
and
week.
Three, and that's a revenge game, brother. You see Carolina and Cincinnati, and you're like, now it's Andy Dalton on that list. Like, let's go. Carolina's winning that game. Carolina is 100% winning that game. You can book that right now. McCarthy, obviously, on the list. McDaniel, you mentioned, on the list as well. What about Antonio Pierce now being on that list? Because we're 3 weeks into the season, and he's already talking about having to make business decisions, walking that back, seemingly feels like maybe he's lost some of those guys inside that locker room, but he has to be on that list. And then with all the injuries that are going on in San Francisco right now, Kyle Shanahan's clock may be ticking. He may be looking to bounce out of San Francisco and find another organization in which to work, because I don't know that things are going to get better in San Francisco right now.
Do we give, and I know he's not on the hot seat and he's not a head coach, do we give Cliff Kingsbury any sort of credit what's going on in Washington?
Well, I think you have to, yeah. Right? I mean, this is a rookie quarterback.
Him and Dan Quinn are kind of putting something together over there for that offense.
Yeah, they really are. Like I really like what Cliff Kingsbury's doing. The results are there, guys. They have scored on every possession in their last two games. Mm. Yeah, you give Cliff Kingsbury a hell of a lot of credit because he's doing it with a rookie quarterback in a new organization. Now, granted, they didn't have any expectations, and it's easier to play when you don't have those expectations. Mm. But it's not easy to score in this league, okay?
Yeah.
And you have scored on every single possession other than a kneel down, which doesn't count, in your last two games. That's pretty impressive, man. Right. I like what Cliff Kingsbury's doing down there.
And the energy's contagious.
Yeah,
the
right.
Energy in that building was probably so negative a few months ago. The fact that they've been able to turn that around, that's pretty impressive.
Yep.
Yeah, my three coaches that I put on the Tough Tuesday block, Dougie Fresh, obviously. Mm. I mean, you've lost eight straight. Your quarterback is completely lost in that system that you are starting to create. The interception he threw last night to DeMar Hamlin, his first interception, had a great game. Good to see that from him. Bad interception. You're only as good as the guy that throws the football for your organization. Trevor Lawrence has not been good. He's 53 starts in. He hasn't won a game in eight straight weeks. Going back to last season. In fact, it's been since Thanksgiving of last year since he's won a football game.
Yeah, I mean, since we had stuffing, man, that guy hasn't won a game. And think about it. The Chiefs have won nine in a row, right? They've lost eight in a row. The Chiefs have won nine in a row.
That's right.
And when they last won on Thanksgiving, Jacksonville was still a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a playoff really team, and they pooped the bed and have no opportunity now to recover from this. At 0-3, forget about it.
My other coach is having a tough Tuesday, Zach Taylor. You're 0-3. Yeah. You've lost two games at home. I don't think anybody thought you were going to start the season 0-3. Only 2.5% of teams in the NFL in the last whatever years
history
have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. This is, you know, par for the course, I guess, for Cincinnati, but it looks like the sky is definitely falling. It looks like the locker room is a little bit lost. Normally when that happens, all eyes get pointed towards the head coach. Mm-hmm. He's just now coming out saying that Cam Taylor-Britt can't be doing that sort of talking. Jamar Chase, obviously the contract negotiations. T. Higgins, first game back last night, had one catch for 4 yards.
Would you be surprised if Cincinnati is challenging, though, for a playoff berth late in the season? I mean, yeah. I don't think they're going to make it, but that talent you have to look at and go, okay, eventually talent takes over. But if it's a mess of a locker room, if everybody's doing their own thing, nobody's on the same page,
I'm sorry,
you're never going to win.
T. Higgins at 3 for 39. I was looking at the stats from,
he had more.
Yeah, 3 for 39
still
last
great,
night.
Yeah.
Nah,
not great.
I mean, whatever.
When Jamar Chase has 6 for 118 and 2 touchdowns, you know who target number one is going to be.
Right.
And then my last one is just Big Mike. Tough Tuesday for Big Mike McCarthy. You know what it is in Dallas. If you don't win every game, you're always going to be on the hot seat.
That's right.
But this is one of those things where the season kind of led to this. We saw the foreshadowing of this. They were very, very quiet during the offseason with their activity. They paid everybody the last possible second. There's a lot of miscommunication going on in Dallas, almost like as if he's set up to fail. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they would bring in to take over for him. I know you've got your theories on Belichick.
I'd hire Belichick today.
But good luck getting him out of the booth.
I know.
That guy's living
his
best life. He's got a 26-year-old girlfriend. He's met her father, who he's 10 years older than he is. He's doing well on Pat McAfee's show. He's doing well with every sort of little audio bite that he's had. And it looks like a completely reborn Bill Belichick. So I don't know if that's the guy that takes his job. But, I mean, you look at what Dan Quinn's doing in Washington. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn was there in Dallas. They had the opportunity to give him, you know, more reins in Dallas. He moved on. He's now leading in that division with the Washington Commanders when it comes to the NFC East. And again, Dallas is that team. They'll look really bad 1 week. They'll look really good the next week. Everyone will think things are going well. But the teeter-totter or the up and downs that goes, the ebb and flows that go in Dallas, all rest on the shoulders of Big Mike McCarthy. And to be honest with you, he's got to be playing with house money at this point, being there that long in Dallas.
Well, and they win 12 games a year, but they never get it done in the postseason. And that's what ultimately matters, right? You're judged by your postseason, whether you're a quarterback or a head coach in the NFL. And Mike McCarthy has been a failure in the postseason. I do believe, in my opinion anyway, and it could be totally wrong, but as every day that goes by where Bill Belichick is out of coaching, it's harder to get back into coaching. Right. Mm-hmm. You're going to get out there. You're going to like how many years did everybody want Bill Cowher to come back and be a head coach in this league? Oh, go get Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher never wanted to leave. You get out of that coaching profession, out of that 24/7 a day grind. You literally have no responsibilities anymore.
Right.
You're doing your TV thing. You're doing your endorsements. You're living your best life. As you mentioned, dating a 26-year-old. Like if you're Bill Belichick right now, I would probably think as each day goes by, he wants to get back into coaching less and less because he's realizing I'm making a really good living right now and I don't have any stress or responsibility.
That's right. That is our Tough Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well, our executive producer. Coming up on the other side, we have a conversation because these are the six biggest games of the year because they're the last six games of the year. We dive into that on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.